Yeah, I am glad that this is a small group. So thank you so much for being here. I'm Angie Reeder. I've been at Briarwood for at least 30 years now because we came when I was 11 and I'm 45. Oh my gosh, I just turned 46. So I've been here for a long time. So I'm thankful to be able to do this. I don't get to speak very often. There's only been a handful of times that I've been able to sort of talk publicly about my divorce that I went through 13 years ago. It was 2008. So I'll jump back into that. But I appreciate you guys. So let me open in prayer because I have so many thoughts. Christy told me I could go in any direction with this, and so my heart is just to be helpful to you guys and try to get some things on paper, but I want to do the best that I can to connect with y'all and be a good resource for you in the future. So let's pray that my mind is not too scattered in how I organize this. Father God, thank you so much for the day. I thank you for the opportunity to speak to these women, Lord, and I pray for every single heart here that you would meet them where they are, whether they're trying to help a friend, whether they've been through divorce, going through divorce, or just are having questions about marriage in general. I pray, God, that you would speak through me to minister to them, and that you would go before us, and that you would just fill us with your Holy Spirit. And thank you again for the opportunity in Christ's name. Amen. My little disclaimer, I am not a counselor, I'm obviously not a pastor, I am not an expert in this area, I'm merely one person who has gone through divorce and have had lots of conversations with people who have been through divorce or are going through divorce, and so over the years, there have been enough opportunities that I feel like there have been some common themes that have come up. And so I want to flesh out some of those and maybe if you haven't been through a divorce and you're wondering how you can minister to someone who is going through divorce, maybe walk away with a few ideas. But again, you may be here for any number of different reasons, and I'm not going to make any assumption as to why you might be here. And Lord willing, you are not about to go through a divorce. But if you are, I hope some of these things are helpful and informative on some level. So a super brief history of my divorce. I married my high school sweetheart. We had been together 7 years. We had dated 7 years before we got married. We weren't living together. We dated 7 years before we got married. About 8.5 years into our marriage, I started noticing some things like, ooh, like, that's not a good sign, but kind of waiting for something, like, I'm not an overreactor. I kind of wait until, you know, everybody has their own personality, and so I was kind of waiting for data points to start seeing some sort of a pattern before I rushed to judgment about what was going on in my own marriage. And so about 8.5 years in, a few things were not quite right, and I started dipping my toe in the water of, hang on a second. We had some counseling at that time, and the week before the economy crashed in 2008, my then husband was no longer in the house. It was just me and a 3 and a 5 year old at home. And, you know, the man of the house, I remember walking in one day, the man of the house, his boots outside the door were this big. And, you know, and it struck me that day, oh my gosh, like, my 3 year old son is the man of the house now. So I didn't even know the economy had crashed in 2008. My counselor told me over a week later because I was lost in my world, and trying to hold my family together. But it was, another 9 months before he actually filed, a couple days before our 10-year wedding anniversary. And then it was another 9 months before we were actually, formally divorced and the judge assigned the paper. So, you know, one thing I was gonna, if you've not been through a divorce or experienced it, there's in my mind, just kind of a simple, I can't call it the life cycle. Again, I'm not a counselor, the life cycle of a divorce, but there are really, from my experience, and again, there's going to be exceptions to everything I say today. So just keep that in mind. I'm going to try to keep it generalized, but just know that there are exceptions. So when someone goes through a divorce, it's almost like if you think about a line, you, at some point you get married in time, you realize that there's issues that are coming up, in your marriage that are not good. And at some point there's a peak where there is a realization of something horrific. Whether it is, now for some people it may be, they're surprised because their spouse has filed for divorce and they get informed that they've filed for divorce. There are, you know, it could be the uncovering of an affair. It could be you find out your spouse is a child molester. I've had that one too. Not in my experience, but in people that I've known. So, you know, some sort of a traumatic event leads up to traumatic events. They know or they have the realization, wow, I am headed for divorce. And then there's kind of a, oh my gosh, how am I gonna deal with this? You know, whether you are, and this is sort of more from, I'm speaking more from the perspective of someone, who is in a situation where they're not happy about the divorce or they're shocked or whatever, because it could be, when we can talk about this too, that it's flipped and you're the one that wants the divorce. And you're the one that's done with him. And there's biblical reasons for that too. I mean, there's protection. The Bible gives us protection under certain circumstances, to file for divorce for protection because of you and your children. But anyway, in this life cycle, there's this peak where something happens and then it kind of comes down. Then there's sort of this trajectory when either maybe one of the two of you has filed for divorce, and then there's sort of this uptick until divorce is finalized. There's this weird, stressful, awful, suspended, if you've ever been there, state where someone sued you for divorce. Or you have filed and you've sued for divorce, and there's the struggle about children, there's struggle about money, there's struggle about who's going to live where. You know, I've got, you know, your lawyer's telling you, if you have a lawyer, if you can afford a lawyer, because some people can't, is telling you, don't leave the house, you know, and you're in, or, you know, the level of stress and complexity is so profound, and to know how to be helpful to someone initially in crisis, I feel like the first peak of realization, and I don't know if y'all would agree with this or not, but this is just part of some of the things that in my mind were helpful to me. You have to at least treat it like a death. Kind of like what we were talking about a little while ago. I've not experienced the death of a spouse. I have not experienced that. It's the only thing that I can imagine in my mind that would be worse than a divorce, would be, a divorce that you don't want, that is not a biblical divorce, would be the death of a child, maybe. Just something that would be, horrific and, but because some divorces, you know, in a biblical sense, they may bring relief for a party that needs that protection to be there, due to circumstances. But one of the reasons why, well, and I'll say this too, I'm going to say this too. The goal, whether you're here because you have a child going through divorce, you work with women that have been through divorces, you've been through a divorce yourself, you have friends. It's no matter what reason you're here, we are all going to be touched by it. We know the statistics are over 50% of the women in this room will have been divorced. The women in the other room will have been divorced. 50% of them by the time, you know, everything is said and done in this life. I do want y'all to be aware of two statistics that 90% of people with special needs children will have ended up in divorce. 90%. Also, you also need to know, the ones that actually survive, a lot of times the ones that survive really are super, either they're hanging on by a thread or they are super strong marriages. So, but 90% in divorce. 90% also, of people who have spouses that are serving in armed forces. It's also 90%. So, you know, it's the stresses that come with that, are pretty incredible. So the goal, if you are, you know, and I pray that we're believers, all believers in this room, but we may not be. But if you're working with someone who is going through a divorce and you're a believer and you're trying to be helpful, you know, the goal is to point them toward Christ. The goal is to bring, if you're a believer and you're working with someone that doesn't know the Lord, you know, bring them to Christ. And they may not be ready. Maybe they're ready, maybe they're not. But in a moment of crisis, Jesus is the only one that we can depend on. It's not a spouse. We can depend on Jesus. And if you are helping someone, if you're in the position of helping someone and you're not the one going through the divorce, you are the hands and feet of Jesus to them, because you're part of the body of Christ. You're there to be helpful to them. There's a million different ways that you can do it. But the purpose is not to enable them. I feel like I need to say this. It's to be loving and supportive, but at the same time, they need to get to a place of independence. Independence I hate to give y'all a fishing example, but this is the best example I could come up with. This is terrible. When I was a kid, what we used to do. You can catch like a little fish, and then the little fish you can throw back out on the line. You'll catch a bigger fish, because if the small fish is like not exactly, if it's on a hook and it's flailing around, it makes a lot of noise, okay? A little fish that's wounded, anything that is wounded and flailing around and splashing in the water is going to do exactly what those great big bass did, which was come up and just absolutely engulf and swallow that prey. And so in that sense, you've got to know when you're helping, be as helpful as you feel like the Lord is leading you to be. But the goal is to get them to be as independent as possible. Now, they may always need child care until there's another spouse. And there's going to be things that they may always need help with, but there's things that they won't always need help with too. I'm so thankful to my sweet daddy who bought me a lawnmower and said, this is how you mow the lawn. This is how you know, my brother showed me how to work a weed eater, because we had an acre in our yard and the grass needed to be cut. You know, you can have a sweet friend that may in those first couple of weeks of trauma, hey, let me come and cut your grass. Yes, that's helpful in the short run. But a little bit down the road, there may be things that you need to figure out how to teach them to do for themselves, so that they can kind of get in a rhythm. That's something that they can learn how to do. That's just an example. That's not for everybody, but that's just, you know, some people can pay someone to do it. I couldn't. So, you know, as a friend, encouraging growth, encouraging independence, and always imparting a spirit of hope. And not, it's very easy for those of us that have been through a trauma like that to get caught up in the trauma. And so to constantly be imparting a spirit of hope. There's three different ways, and I'm going to watch my time here. So we started at 9:30. I have until 10, and then we'll kind of maybe talk and do questions. So there's three different areas that I've come up with that I feel like we should all be aware of when you're trying to help someone, or if you're needing help, asking for help in these areas. There's areas where physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And keep in mind too, when someone's going through a trauma and when they're under such incredible stress, this is a process. It can take 6 months or a year just to get their little Bambi legs. You know, remember Bambi? You know, Bambi's just born and they've got their little Bambi legs. That's what it feels like when you're just starting out in a new life that maybe you don't want, maybe you do want it and you're like, I got this. I need some help in these areas, but I am free now. You know, if it's a biblical divorce, you know, you may feel more empowered and more free in that situation, but then you've got another woman who may be completely devastated and her world has been crushed and it is just the destruction and the aftermath and dealing with the children, and their trauma, and you're taking that on too. It is too much. It is too much. So just be patient. Try not to rush to judgment. Anybody I've talked to about divorce, everybody, whether it was family members, some of us had family members that were not super understanding. Some of us have had friends that were like, we just feel like you need to do this. And like, it's, we feel very strongly like, and they're just wanting to grab you by the scruff because they're impatient. They think they're helping. and they're not necessarily, they think in their mind, it's like constructive criticism and it actually just makes you want to crawl into a corner, and just go, I just don't need this right now. And you just need to go off and be by yourself for a little bit because it's not that it's not well-meaning. And that's for those of us that have been through it, and people say things, they think they understand, they cannot identify necessarily with what you've been through at all. And so we need to be gracious with people who say stupid things. Can I say that? I mean, you know, and I've been the one to say stupid things before. To someone that, you know, maybe lost a spouse and you try to be comforting and you throw out a verse and you know what? No one is going to do this perfectly. Divorce is messy. We need to be gracious with people that are trying to help us. But at the same time, if you were the one doing the helping, please don't rush to judgment. So there are some, I would say some of the, these are just suggestions, from a physical point of view. You know, we are made in the image of God. We're meant to take care of our bodies. When you've been through a trauma, you are not necessarily taking care of your body. Some of us, our hair fell out. I mean, I got down to 108 pounds, which is like 40 pounds away from where I am now. A lot of people, maybe they eat everything in sight. They are going out partying, drinking because, maybe they're feeling that void with relationship. I'm gonna say this real quick. And Ike helped me understand this. Men know when women are in trauma. There must be some men who are not walking with Jesus just know when you are at that place where that look, and I mean like, and that look that you get, and sometimes I'm sorry to say it's for married men. And so be aware of that. But you know, they can sense when they have an opportunity. If they're not Christians or not walking with the Lord, you put yourselves in I'm not saying don't go out and have a drink with your friends. I'm not saying, I'm just saying if it's if it's friends that are not a good influence, and you know when they're not a good influence, and you're out and you're partying, you are making yourself very vulnerable, and it can lead to just devastating decisions for you that you will only regret. You know, I could say more about that in a private setting, but when someone, so from physically, when someone initially, so we talked about that first peak of stress, you know, whether it's something, again, whether it's a biblical divorce and the circumstances are just really difficult to manage. Maybe you're getting mixed signals from counselors and people in your life that love you, and the level of stress is really high. You know, it's nice to have a friend that's like, when was the last time you showered? Are you grooming? You know, sometimes you need to, like, let's get you out of the bed. I mean, like a death, okay? Someone that is going through a trauma, and you need to check in on them on very basic needs. Do they have food in the house? I have a friend of mine that went, she heard that my then husband was gone from the house, and she goes, I have to go shopping. She went to Walmart, she bought $500 worth of groceries for me. She filled my refrigerator, bought me a 50-pound bag of dog food, and made sure that the cats were taken care of. I mean, like, it was, she made sure that the kids had something that they could go over and eat. It is okay if they have cereal for dinner for a couple nights sometimes. It can't last forever. Like, pop in. If you like to do casseroles, if you're not good at conversation, or you feel like, oh, I don't know them well enough, just bring a casserole by. Hey, I just wanted to swing by and grab and bring you a breakfast casserole that you've just cooked and it's still warm, or something that's frozen that they can put in the freezer, or whatever it is, just like you would a death, okay? Bring them food. Sometimes they need to get outside. They actually need to get sunshine on their skin. They need to go for a walk. You just need to move. You know, talk to them, find out what it is that they seem to be struggling in, but just think of basic needs. Think of showering, think of food, think of exercise, think of safety. Could be that if you have a husband who is handy around the house and they need extra locks, or they need their locks changed out, that is something that they need to feel physically protected. I've told women before, if you have a soon-to-be ex-husband that's kind of going through, like, they're doing their crazy nutty thing that they do sometimes. They go from being kind of normal, like the year before, to all of a sudden doing really weird things, and it's freaking you out, and they're not in the house anymore, and they're, you know, you need to drive. You're coming home with your kids, and they're in the car with you. You need to drive into the garage, shut the garage, then you get out of the car, and then you're protected. There's a barrier between. There are situations like that where you physically, you know, some women, they have a restraining order, but he shows up at the house. The police aren't going to get there for a long time. It's, you know, because it's not an emergency. Well, he's just outside your house. He's not inside your house. Well, we can't. Whatever it is, you need to feel safe. Help your friends know how to feel safe. You need to get yourself in a place of safety. It could be basic things like helping them move furniture, babysitting when they're going to counseling sessions. We already mentioned, like, home lawn maintenance. So those are things that are just ideas for physically helping someone. Oh, my gosh, I have 8 minutes. Mentally and emotionally, we've already talked about just being patient. Try not to be irritated with someone. If it's beyond what you know you can handle, point them in a direction of a counselor, okay? And those of us that, you know, people that are going through this, they may have to verbalize their stress or their thoughts. You know, you can't spend that on just one person. You need kind of encourage a team as much as possible. if you were the friend or loved one of that person who is struggling, encourage them to allow others to help them because they need a team. No one person, no one set of parents can possibly handle everything that comes with the stresses of a divorce and just processing everything. Be respectful of their privacy, but don't use that as an excuse not to engage. Okay. Ask questions instead of being too directive. And again, I'm not a counselor, but it can be really hurtful when someone comes in and says, "You need to do this." And like, we really feel like you need to do this now, and you keep going back. If they're not ready, they're not ready. It's their life. They're the ones. We all, each one of us in this room, have to stand before God for, we all have to give an account, you know. If you're a believer, Jesus covers all of our sin. But in this life, there's consequences to our sin. So I don't want to answer for somebody. I got my own junk. I got my own junk that God is dealing with me. So just try to do the best you can to ask questions and be curious as to how you can be creative in helping them meet their needs without telling them what they have to do, especially like if you're a hubby. Encourage hobbies in time. Ask them questions about what kinds of things would you like to do in your spare time. You know, I've hauled my childhood piano, an upright grand piano from North Carolina down icy roads to get it back home. And then I needed four strong guys to bring it up and into my house. Like, people need to have someone to call to say, can you help me move my childhood piano? It's going to take 15 minutes of your time. But there may be some things like that. Like, do what you can to encourage them to start that new life, to start those, go back to some of those things that they're good at. Start painting again. And I know this is a little bit down the road, but it's just an idea. We've already talked about constructive criticism. Just be careful that it doesn't become destructive criticism. It seems to sometimes work in the short term, but may not be helpful in the long term. Inviting them to dinner when it's you and your spouse, and then pay for their dinner, for heaven's sake. If this is a woman, you know, and you're married and you're inviting a single woman to have dinner with you, please pay for their dinner. It's awkward when you're like single woman paying for your own dinner and you're with a couple. I don't know why I feel the need to say that, but I do. Keep them in your supper clubs. We talked about this a couple of minutes ago, touched on this. Please, when someone, I was not kicked out of my supper club, but I do know people that were. Even at separation. Not even divorced. It's like, yeah, this is really for couples. Please don't do that. Please don't let anyone in. If you're having that conversation, the divorced person is not there. Please be an advocate for that person. That was one that Ike really liked a lot. My husband, he was like, you need to make sure that they know they need to be an advocate, you know. I've got a few minutes. And from the spiritual side, remind them that over and over again that God has not forgotten about them. God has not forgotten about them. God has not forgotten about their children. Okay? Over and over again, I still tell myself that, okay? But if you're going through it, you need to tell yourself again, let God talk to you through His scriptures. Get in the Word with your children. You know, get the Jesus Story Bible. One of the best things that I did for me and my kids was crawling in bed at night We read secular secular stories, you know, Peter Rabbit, and then we always finished with Bible stories, not VeggieTales, not something that was some variation of scripture, but just the stories themselves are compelling enough. You know, I found some of mine at thrift stores. Be careful of some of the ones that you find at thrift stores, and like make sure that they're appropriate for the time. You might want to read over some of those stories because some of the ones from the 70s are a little dated. I won't get into reasons why I say that, but be aware. But a lot of those old children's story hour stories are fantastic. Just read over them beforehand, but they're great little, like, one page. You know, they're not in print anymore, and it's hard to find them. But what you can get now is things like the kids' Jesus Story Bible. And read it. You know, my kids always wanted to read more. And then it put us in just a peaceful place, a restful place, where the last thing that was going through any of our minds was something about Jesus. Offer to meet them at a Bible study. Invite them to come sit with you in worship. Or if you are that person and you need someone to sit with in church, reach out to a couple of people. Hey, you know, can we come and sit with you sometimes? I don't know if we'll be able to get to the early service, but we might. If we do, where do y'all sit? And, you know, and hopefully their reaction is, yes, oh my gosh, anytime you want to come sit with us in church. You're sitting around people in church every time you go to church. So it would make sense to, I mean, some people like, I didn't mind sitting by myself because I liked being able to cry. And I knew I was, but that was my person. And I liked being able to sit in the back where I could put my hands up and I wouldn't feel as funny about it as sitting up front. But everybody's different. Everybody's different. Ask them what they need in their personalities. Meet them where their personality is. You know, what works for one person doesn't work for another person. And then encourage fellowship with believers. Encourage community. And I feel like there's a lot of missed opportunity. We don't do divorce well at church. It's hard to know how to incorporate someone who's single. It's hard to know how to incorporate someone who's been divorced, who's going through a divorce, because there's a lot of fear around it, especially if you don't understand it. And we were kind of talking about this before, but you know, I mean, I had a couple of the looks of maybe I should dress down a little bit because, like, I'm noticing that woman that never used to act funny around me is acting a little bit funny, like I might steal her husband now. You want to be if it's you that's going through a divorce and you're in a transition, we should be careful. I mean, I asked my dad, I was like, do I need to, like, dress down a little bit? And he said, you know, it wouldn't hurt just to take it down a notch. And you know what? And that was just him being honest. Like, and I know that sounds silly, like my heels are too high. It's a little thing. It's a little thing. But, I did at one point feel the, I was like, is it me? And it probably wasn't, but, you're in such a place of insecurity. And sometimes other people are in a place of insecurity, and so they don't necessarily know what to do with you, and how, what's this new way that you're going to relate to my husband, and maybe they're not doing as well as you would think. It's, oh my goodness, relationships are so complicated. But encouraging that person to have a team of people. And then also, teen counselors, family, hopefully they have supportive family. But be aware too that they are sifting through the advice of a lot. If they're godly, they might be sifting through the advice of a lot of people. Don't be upset if they don't take your advice. Because, you may not have all the information. They may not be ready to make that decision. You may not have enough to really, information to really be able to guide them. Just don't be angry or irritated if they're not taking your advice, about something specific. But pray for them, because they don't teach us in Sunday school how to do divorce well, you know. We read the Scarlet Letter. We have, you know, you think about the big A on, you know, in the Scarlet Letter. You know, some of us feel like we had the big D for divorce on our chest for a really long time. And some of us had years of justifying, but I'm not the one that wanted the divorce. Just know that it's really hard for a lot of us not to stereotype ourselves. Remind them that they are a child of God just by themselves. They are whole and can be whole if they don't feel it, that Jesus can make them whole all by themselves. So many of us were looking for, I idolized my ex-husband. I didn't realize I was doing it, but I did. And it's not fair when you do that to people. When you idolize your children, when you idolize a spouse or a parent, it's even, whether you're conscious of it or not, it's very unfair to put them in that position, and can create incredible problems. But, I did it. I just was so excited because I loved him so much, I'm sure that there were, complications. I was molested as a kid, when I was 4. That probably didn't help matters at all. You know, your identity becomes wrapped up in so many things that aren't Jesus. And so, helping your friends or you remembering God, you are enough. You're enough. There was a time one evening I can remember that was particularly awful and stressful. My kids were in bed. It was 11 o'clock at night. I called Sweet Milner and Betty Jane Snuggs, and Milner's with the Lord, but they had been helpful to us. And, you know, I felt like in that moment, the Lord was just impressing upon me, you know, and like God was asking me, am I enough? God asking me, am I enough for you? Do you have to have this idol? And I answered out loud, you're enough. Over anything, God is enough. Even though there were needs, at the same time, God still was faithful and took care of us. He did. He took care of us over and over and over and over and over and over. And spoon fed me spiritual, where I was spiritually, and made it so easy for me. There were times that God would show me the same scripture. Oh my gosh, one time. I don't know if y'all have experienced this, but when the Lord is really trying to show you something, you know, you hear it on the radio, you hear it preached in church the same week, a friend comes up with the same verse. One time, God did that to me. It was like, I'm going to make you see this. 7 times, God showed me in like, I think it was over the course of maybe a week and a half. 7 times, it was like, take that healing. And God showed me again and again and again. And finally, it forced me to make the next decision. And I was praying, God, show me, God, show me, God, show me. And I didn't want to see that. The next time, it took three times. but literally, I felt like spiritually God himself was spoon-feeding me. And I was in the Word, but I was also reading self-help books, and I was also reading counseling, Christian counseling books, and I was getting counseling, and I was getting, you know, but in the end, what it comes down to is, if you're a believer, this is where the Lord does carry you. And I knew he was carrying me, and I was trusting he was carrying my children. I mean, you know, there's the times where it's just, and I'm trusting, I'm trusting that you were taking care of my babies. I'm trusting that I'm gonna keep going, but I'm trying to do the right thing. I am trying to do, you know, how does a Christian do divorce well? I mean, you know, what are the steps? The things that nice girls are not taught in Sunday school. That's not a subject in Sunday school. So traveling that road, really, it does get down to you and your relationship with God. So spending time in the Word and getting good godly counsel, and, don't be too hard on yourself. I know Harry doesn't like for us to say, you know, give someone grace, because only God can give grace, and that's true. But y'all know what I mean when I say, give yourself some grace. Give yourself a break. You're not going to do it perfectly. Your loved one is not going to do it perfectly. In fact, sometimes they might do it really badly. Keep pointing them toward Christ. Keep pointing them toward Christ. We bear each other as believers. We are called to bear each other's burdens, to come alongside in community. Does that mean you can meet that person's every single need? No. You can't. Figure out what you do well. I mean, whatever that is. And it's okay if you feel like you need to stay in your lane, but do something. Some people are, it's like, you know what, I'm not really good at this or that, but I am good at this. And sometimes people need a listening ear. Sometimes people need a casserole. Sometimes people need someone to walk with them or to sit with them in church. Figure out what you naturally do well. And I love that Harry's about to do this thing on spiritual gifts, because we all need to know our spiritual gifts. And we should exercise them. And the last thing I want to say is, why is divorce so difficult? And biblically, when God created man and woman and marriage, it's to become one. That concept, I just think of conjoined twins. Have we talked about this? I haven't said this yet, have I? Conjoined twins. Because when you think about what it takes to separate conjoined twins, if they come apart, it is bloody. It's bloody and it's complicated, and that is what divorce is. But, there is a master surgeon who actually can, with a team, again, always involves a team, can, if they do it right, can just conjoin twins. And they can heal, but there will always be scars. Okay? There will always be scars. And it's okay. We live in a fallen world. There are always going to be scars. So our job as friends is to do the best we can to come alongside. And if you don't know, come and talk to someone that's been through it. If you haven't been through it and you're trying to help somebody, you probably need a sounding board of someone that's been through it to make sure that, you know, am I thinking right? But respect, at the same time, respect that person's privacy, whoever it is that you're, that is, that's going through it. Anything that I should clarify? Yeah. I'll try to answer it, but I'll just do the best I can.
I don't know if I have to answer it, but it's hard for me. But
Yeah. The thing is that I think in an effort to be helpful, people try and fix you. Or they try to make themselves feel better by I'm going to do my part in helping. One more marriage, stay together. And I'm going to just encourage you. Yeah, you can stay in there. Hey, it's a, hey, you can hang in there kind of thing. Sometimes, you know, and there's sometimes where people do, I've heard of a number of situations where counselors tell you that you don't have a biblical right for divorce. You can't leave yet. It takes time to discern some of those things because, you know, sometimes the situation, counselors and friends, you know, they may try to be helpful, but they don't know the whole story. And it's difficult. Sometimes it's helpful to have one person that kind of knows the whole story, but use other people as your day-to-day team, you know, but again, even when you're getting biblical counsel, you know, you're going to get varying opinions, and it's, I guess there was a day that I realized I am the one that's going to answer. If I am acting against the Holy Spirit, what I know to be the right thing to do, even though it was very counterintuitive or it looked unchristian to do this or that, you know, sometimes it's like dealing with an addict,
yeah.
You know?
Well, that's what he was.
Yeah. So you're, you know, when you're in those kind of situations, it's so hard when it's part of the church that has hurt you. There is no perfect church. There is no perfect church. Now, you might be part of a good church or a bad church. There are plenty of churches out there that are not going by what is biblical, or you're going to get the whole spectrum. It's just like with people. It's just like with believers. You're going to have a believer who may be very seasoned. They'll never be perfect, but that may be very seasoned in their walk. And then you have new believers that may get terrible advice. But think because in their zealousness that they're, you know, excited and they, so, and then everything in between. So,
I think I have two people right now.
And you know what? I'm sorry, and I, it's part of the reason why I'm excited to hear Christy talk about this care team. Because it is so desperately needed. And those of us, this is what we need to remember. Oh, my gosh, and I've gone over my time, I think. Right? I think I've gone over my time. Let me look at my thing. Yeah. So we'll end with this. If your experience has been really bad, and there are way too many of y'all that have had, some of us, had as good of an experience, you know, church discipline worked the way it was supposed to, praise God. But there's some people that don't feel that way, you know. And, you know, I would always say if you can look for an older godly woman to meet with you on occasion, hey, can we go to lunch? Sometimes we have to ask for it. Even years in, we have to ask for it. Because people think over the years you're okay, or oh, they're doing all right. They see you from a distance, and sometimes you have to be the one to reach out and ask for the help. And I pray that in time you won't have to ask as often for the help, because hopefully there will be teams in place And those of us that have been through it before, we need to be a part of that team and be a resource in the way that you know you can be a resource. One way that I know that that we try to be a resource with me and Ike is walking women through the time that they're negotiating their child custody agreement, because, you know, you pay a lawyer an absolute fortune, but they are not, there's holes all in a divorce decree, all over the place. And it, yeah, and if you get someone that, if you get, if you have a spouse that starts getting squirrely, like most of them do in that situation, when, you know, they've gone into crazy mode or whatever, you know, they're going to try and find every hole that they can to get at you to justify what they've done, you know. And of course, I'm speaking to the woman, I'm speaking to that particular woman. I'm not speaking to the woman that has a biblical divorce and needs. But either way, the custody agreement when it comes to children is super, super sensitive and important, and that there's other areas are important too. Financial is super important as well. But where I feel like we're the most helpful is in helping in the language in when you're bouncing back and forth. You know, I've told women a bunch of times, please let me see your divorce decree. If you feel like you need help, let's look at just that one section. I'm not a lawyer, but I can help you figure out the dates that will make sense, because at some point a judge may look at you and say, you know what? This ain't gonna be all you. It's not gonna be all him. So you better figure out, you better figure out where you can give up. And I did not like hearing that, but I was told that. And I went back and I found a couple of places I can give my kids up on the date of their birthday. I'm coming. I can give my kids up on the date of their birthday. You know, so anyway, all that to say, y'all, I work full time, but text me or call me if you need some direction or have someone in your life that you're like, we're struggling over here. Can you give me some thoughts about this or that? I'm happy to do it. I hope today was helpful, y'all. I love you guys. I love this church. So thank you. And I'm going to say a quick prayer. God, be with each one of these women today. Lord, thank you so much that they were here. Anything that I said that was not clear or not of you, Lord, just help it fall away in their brains. Help me to be more clear in the future if any of that has happened. But, Lord, go before each one of them and protect their hearts, be close to them and where they are in their friendships and dealing with anyone or themselves if they are helping someone through divorce. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.